Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on the subject, will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? We don't ask that question to make you feel guilty, but that we might be encouraged to work for God as never before. Will there be anyone in heaven because you won them to Jesus Christ? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, 11th chapter and verse number 30, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Have you ever won one soul to Jesus Christ? When you get to heaven, will there be a soul there that you won for Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, friend, if we fail to make the move that wins, the devil wins. That word wins make me think of some type of a contest. And you know, if we fail to make that move, then the devil wins. Another soul is lost eternally. Will there be anyone in heaven because of your prayers? Are you praying for the lost? Do you weep for sinners? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 11, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. One of the reasons I'm saved tonight is because some folks prayed for me. And I believe one of the reasons you're saved tonight because somebody prayed for you. Who are you praying for? Prayer is the lifeline of New Testament evangelism, the oxygen for its holy fire. The New Testament was born in prayer. It knows no evangelism without prayer, and no prayer which does not lead to evangelism. There is no evangelism without prayer, and no prayer that does not lead on to reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. In short, before we do the work of evangelism, we must fervently pray that God will go before us. When we pray for the lost, we are saying to God, God, you go first. Because if you don't go first, all of our efforts will be in vain. So we got to pray for opportunities. Sometimes we need to pray that God will create an opportunity where none exists. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will break the sinner's heart and cause that sinner to cry out to God for mercy. Then we should pray that the sinner might be released to trust Christ. Friend, the whole human race, the lost world, is in bondage. They're caught up in Satan's trap with no hope of escape outside of the gospel. This is precisely the point where we find many people today. Sin has so captured them that they despair of ever being set free. When Jesus spoke at the synagogue at Nazareth in Luke the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 30, he announced his ministry by quoting Isaiah the 61st chapter and verse number 1, and there it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus came to this earth to set those who have lived in the dark prison of sin, set them free, thank God. And as we pray for the lost, let us focus our prayers by asking God to break those chains and set them free so that they can trust Christ. Yes, friend, finally, let us pray for a transformed life, because that's what God does. He transforms life. That's what the Bible's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what happens? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So true conversion leads to total transformation. When Christ comes in, he changes everything. We should ask God to work mightily so that sinners would be radically transformed from the inside out. And that's the way it works. God starts on the inside and works to the outside. God's biggest problem, though, is not with the sinner. God's biggest problem is with the saved, because too many saved folks don't really pray like they should pray that the sinners, my friend, would be saved. Therefore, they remain in darkness. If somebody prayed for you when you were lost, should not you do the same for someone else? Through our prayers, through our witnessing, we are depopulating hell and filling up heaven. That sounds like a good thing to do, doesn't it? Depopulate hell and fill up heaven. Through prayer, saints, we can invade Satan's territory and bring men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. Through prayer, the power of God is released and the lost are set free and given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray for the lost, we're saying to them, if you go to hell, you'll have to go to hell over my prayers. There are many roadblocks on the highway to hell. Loving parents is one of those roadblocks. Godly Christian friends is another roadblock. The testimony of the Word of God is a roadblock. The whole Church of God should be a roadblock on the sinner's road to hell to stop them from plunging into hell. And God tonight has placed one final roadblock just outside the gates of hell. And you know what it is? It is our prayers. Our prayers stand as the last barrier between the lost and eternal damnation. We should pray with this faith: I will not let you go to hell. My prayers are greater than your unbelief, because God's grace is greater than your sin. In God's name, with his strength, I will never, never give up praying for my lost loved ones. I will not let you die in your sins. I have to pray and pray and keep on praying. Saints, never, never, never give up on the lost sinner that's on his way to a devil's hell. Just keep on praying. It may look hopeless, but as long as God gives you breath, just keep on praying, because prayer still works. Prayer still changes things. And when we finally get to heaven, you know what we're going to do? We're going to discover that God has used our prayers and our tears in a way that we never imagined. Will there be anyone in heaven because you were willing to go? Are you willing to go? Matthew 28 said, verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, Mark 16, verse number 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you willing to go? Is there going to be anybody in heaven because you had a willingness to go? Now, I know what people say, especially in the religious world. Only Jesus saves. Only Christ saves. That's true. Only God can change an individual. But when people say that, they forget what the Bible says, that God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the Bible said, how shall they believe if they don't hear? Amen. If a person does not hear, how are they going to believe? Amen. And if somebody's not sent to preach the word of God to them, then how are they going to know what they're supposed to do? So go does not mean send. A lot of folks think that means send. Send the pastor. Send the missionaries. No, go means you're to go. Someone said, I can't. I got a job. And I got to stay at my job. That's right. But that's where you're supposed to go. That's your mission field. The job you have. The school you go to. Your neighbors. The people you come in contact. That is your world. So if everybody here will go to those places, we can have an effect upon this lost and dying world. The Bible says in Psalms 126, verse number 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What's the next verse? He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Will there be anybody in heaven because you were a fisher of men? Do you fish for men? Amen. Jesus said in Mark, Matthew 4, verse number 19, and he said unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Are you following Jesus? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Will there be anyone in heaven because you had compassion on them? Think about that. When you get to heaven, will there be some folks there because you had compassion on them? Matthew 9:36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Are you a compassionate individual? I can read you throughout the Gospels where many were saved because Jesus had compassion on them. I can read you throughout the Word of God where a lot of folks were touched because the apostles had compassion. How about you? Do you have compassion? Will there be anyone in heaven because you travailed for them? When you get to heaven, there's going to be some folks there because of your willingness to travail. Isaiah 66 and verse number 8 says, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The desire in prayer for the salvation of sinners in the Bible is termed travail. And guess what? The church can't have an epidural. The church can't have a C-section. The only way babies can be born in the church is that the church travail for those births. There are no shortcuts. No way of getting around the pain. The travail. It takes travail. Are you willing to travail for sinners? Amen. Will there be anyone in heaven because of your tears? Your compassion was so great that you wept for sinners. Again in Psalms 26, verse number 5, what they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Jesus, the Son of God, what did he do? He wept over Jerusalem. I believe we as the church need to cry out like Jeremiah in the 9th chapter in verse number 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Nothing proves a soul winner's sincerity like his broken heart and his tearful concern. Great men of the Bible sowed in tears. To the assembled elders of Ephesus, Paul urgently said in Acts the 20th chapter, verse number 31, therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. He had tears. He had a broken heart. He had compassion. He said, I just didn't warn you, but I did it with tears. Amen. There's no substance more valuable in the entire universe than the tears of godly mothers and godly fathers and godly individuals. So what if we don't sow any tears? Church, just what if we fail to sow in tears? Can we still reap in joy? I don't think so. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap joy. You know what I believe? It's amazing that we have so few tears when there is so much to cry about. There's a lot to cry about. Come on, saints. Open up your eyes. Look around tonight. We got a lot we need to be crying about. We need to be broken about. But I'll tell you, our problem is often our hearts are too cold to weep for sinners. Our hearts are too cold to weep for sinners. We got too many other things on our mind. Our affections are set on other things. We don't weep for sinners. Nothing in this world will take the place of tears. Would there be anybody in heaven? Because you witness to them. Do you witness to people? Do you talk to people about Jesus? Did you understand that witnessing is the chief work of the church? Witnessing is a responsibility, privilege, pleasure of every Christian. Someone said, I haven't been saved that long. It's still your privilege. Amen. It's still your pleasure. It's your responsibility. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth. We've all been in potential witnessing situations where we chickened out under pressure, later regretted it, right? Maybe we were intimidated. We was worried about what others would think, or perhaps we feared that we would make somebody mad. Maybe we were suddenly shy, felt our tongue tied. It's happened to all of us, no doubt. Which is why we need to pray for ourselves, first of all, and others, that we might have boldness in proclaiming the gospel, that we might have boldness to witness for Jesus Christ. In order to be effective and soul winning, we gotta have a passion. We gotta witness. We need revival, saints, that restores our first love and our passion for the lost. Do you witness to people? Years ago, I was in a place of business and I saw this on the wall. And I tell you, it up on the bulletin board, and it has stuck with me down through these years. I've read this many times. My friend, I stand at judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but you never did tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim, and you could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together on earth, you never told me about the second birth. Now I stand here condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, it's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But now I learn when it's too late. And you could have saved me from this fate. We walked and talked by dawn, by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die, and you knew I'd never reign on high. Yes, I called you friend in life, and I trusted you through fun and strife. Yet now come this end, I cannot call you my friend. Serious, isn't it? I want you to think about that. Is there going to be anybody in heaven because you witnessed to them? My dear precious mother used to sing an old song. When in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be. If any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Oh, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. We were on the job together. I didn't know you was a Christian. I didn't know you went to church. We went to school together. Why didn't you tell me about him? A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes to Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. Nor help me the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray. You never mentioned him to me. Will there be anybody in heaven because you invited them to come to church and hear the gospel? Will there be anybody in heaven because you called them? You said, we're having a revival, and I want you to come out to the revival. We're having camp meeting. I want you to come to camp meeting. Was there going to be anybody in heaven because you personally invited them? Somebody said, well, don't you know there's a sign out here that says welcome? Well, that's good. There's more to it than that. You need to invite people. Some said, you got any scripture for that? The Bible says in Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. That sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? Go out and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Somebody said, well, it's just hard to get them to come. I know. There's going to be anybody in heaven because you went by and picked them up. I think that's good. You be sure they get here and say, I'm going to come pick you up. What about if I pick you up? You ever brought anybody to church? Go get them. Tell them what time you're coming. Go get them. Bring them to the house of God. Going to be anybody in heaven because you brought them to church? Be by anybody in heaven because you was willing to sacrifice your time? You got time for everything else, don't you? What about sacrifice your time? Talk to people about their souls. Invite people to church. Go pick them up. Take time. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are out, redeeming the time. Will there be anybody in heaven because you let your light shine? You let your light shine on the job. You let your light shine at school. Wherever you went, you let your light shine. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Some brethren were discussing which version of the Bible they liked the best. One said, I like this version. I like this version. I like this version. One brother said, I like the one my mama lived. That's the one I like. Amen. Living the gospel. Adorning the gospel. That's the one. Amen. Will be anybody in heaven because you were the salt of the earth? Bible says in Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth, But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith shall you season it? Have salt in yourself. Have peace one with another. Luke 14:34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Is it going to be anybody in heaven because you were the salt of the earth? And you caused people to become thirsty for the reality of God. They saw in your life. They watched you. The spirit that you had. Your kindness. They watched the way you. And oh, they got thirsty. You made them thirsty. It's going to be anybody in heaven because you made them thirsty. Lord, give me a vision. Help me to see the needs all around me, souls dying for thee. Oh, make me a blessing as onward I go by telling the story that others may know. Lord, give me a vision of fields that are white. Souls we must gather ere cometh the night. Dark shadows are gathering, and some will be lost. Some neighbor or brother, how awful the cost. Lord, give me a vision, lest I empty stand, that at the great judgment, no sheaves in my hand. No labor of love then to offer my king, with nothing but leaves. Than the master to bring. Lord, give me a vision. Help me to see some neighbor today. Lord, bring them to thee. That on that glad morning, some soul there may say, thy prayers of God's children have shown me the way. Dear sister in the congregation in Tennessee used to sing, must I go empty-handed? Thus my dearest Redeemer meet. That's sad, isn't it? After all God's done for us, are we going to go empty-handed? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go empty-handed? Must I meet the Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Not at death I shrink or falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. Oh, the years of sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will. I'd gladly bow. O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work, while yet it's day, ere the night of death o'ertake thee. Strives for souls while still you may. I think about traveling, holding revivals. This old song is often near and dear to my heart. If I carry the gospel to the lost near and far, I won't stand empty-handed at God's judgment bar. But I dare not relax until I've done all he asks, lest I should leave behind an unfinished task. If I've wronged a brother, if I've wounded a friend, give me strength, precious Savior, to make amends. When I come to change my worlds and reach glory at last, then I won't leave behind an unfinished task. And when I come to the crossing, I'll be leaving behind all my earthly possessions, but this I won't mind. It would make my heart glad when I've leave all I've had if I don't leave behind an unfinished task. Oh, you've run the race and you've kept the faith. These words I long to hear my Savior say. And when my life on earth is past, there's just one thing, dear Lord, I ask. Don't let me leave behind an unfinished task. I really believe the greatest joy in heaven will be to meet someone who is there as the result of your praying, your concern, your compassion, your tears. That's the greatest joy in heaven. Think about that. Think what that would be if somebody in heaven would slip their hand in yours and say, brother, sister, I'm here because of you. I have escaped hell because of you. That'll be heaven right there. But what if not? What if we don't have one soul that we brought with us because we were too concerned about things in this life? Because we set our affections on things down here, we didn't have time to bring anybody with us. To be content without conversions is the surest way never to have them. This generation of unbelievers, of believers, is responsible for this generation of lost multitudes. We, as the church, are responsible for this generation. We can't blame it on a past generation or a future generation. We're responsible for this generation. So I believe, in closing, hell groans from beneath. Millions of voices, I believe, cry out from hell saying, do something to save the lost. Do something to save the lost. Do it now, or millions more will be in hell through your neglect. Did you know, I'm confident, and I can back this up by the Bible, that hell has a message for the church. Do you know that? Hell has a message for the church. And we can even read about it in the Bible. Go warn my brothers not to come. Go warn my sisters not to come. Go warn my parents not to come. Go warn my grandchildren not to come. Go warn my neighbors, my loved ones, my friends not to come. Father, we've striven to the best of our ability to bring the message you laid on our hearts.